Our reading this morning is from the first chapter of the book of John, very well-known passage and electrifying passage, really, that speaks into the gospel in this Christmas season. It's written, the Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The one who was the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world He created. But the world didn't recognize Him. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. But to all who believed in Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. This is the word of the Lord. That song, by the way, we just sang, that last one, Wonder, it is an incredible song because the guy who wrote it is one of the great songwriters of our time. And he wrote it after watching a YouTube video of seeing people who are colorblind put on those glasses for the first time. Have you ever seen those videos? They cannot see color, and suddenly when they put those glasses on, they can see red and purple and these incredible colors they had never been able to see before, and they begin to be moved to tears. And he said that is exactly how he felt the day he became a Christian, when he was baptized. He said he began to see the world in a completely different light, and everything he saw caused him to look and wonder. That is the way it is with the gospel message in our lives. When we really begins to penetrate our lives and we begin to really understand what it's teaching us and showing us, it causes us to stand and wonder. Now, you may wonder where I got the title of this message, The Lord is My Light, okay? I'm glad you asked, okay? I want to put a picture up here to see if anybody knows where this is. Anybody know this school? Anybody here? Thank you. Somebody passed. Okay, last week, the Saturday service completely failed. Okay, nobody knew it. This is the University of Oxford. It is the second oldest university in the world. It's over nearly 1,000 years old. And if you were to visit Oxford and walk around the campuses there, you will notice there are several libraries, what they call the Bodleian Libraries. They're some of the oldest libraries in the world, 500-600 years old. And if you walk into any of these, the Bodleian Libraries, it's like stepping into a time capsule. Some of the books are literally 1,300 years old. I think they have four Gutenberg Bibles there. And it's a treasure trove of ancient manuscripts. And stepping into this place, sitting down and walking through these stacks of books, if you want to know the sum of human knowledge circa 1600, this would be the place to be. In fact, here's a little side note. I have to get this in here, okay? This is a picture right here. Just over here to the left, that little desk right there, is the exact place that C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien used to sit there on the Oxford campus and talk and study for hours and hours and hours. And 30 years later, Lewis would talk about looking up at the ceiling. You'll see up at the ceiling, there's all those little paintings there. It's all over the Oxford campus. It's on the edifices of the Oxford campus. If you were to walk around in there, it's all in the all the Bodleian Libraries have, all of them are covered with the same exact picture there. It is three crowns surrounding an open Bible, the three crowns representing the triune God. And inside there is a Latin phrase that comes from Psalm 27. I'll put it up here, okay? Dominus Illuminatio Mea, which simply means, okay, the Lord is my light. And Lewis said there was hardly a day that he did not look up there after he became a Christian and think, this is the song of my life. The Lord is my guiding light in every part of my life. Now, what does that mean for us here in December 2019? The Lord is the light of my life. What does that mean? Well, that gospel lesson I just read, let me put it up here, where it says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never been able to overcome it, has never been able to put it out, can never extinguish it. And it's not talking about light from the sun. It's talking about the light is found in a person. Okay, and look what it says here, okay? The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And his light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot put it out. This is the reason why, okay, Dominus Illuminatio Mea is the guiding force in our lives, because it illumines everything. Not only the places that we, God's asking us and calling us to be something great, to be something better, but it also shines, I would say, light in the more problem areas of our lives. Let me see if I can explain it this way. When you think about Christmas, you think about light. You think about images like this. Light, if you go around the neighborhoods, you'll see all these lights outside of people's homes. We put light on our Christmas trees. We put them in our windows. It's the season of light. And often, I don't know about you, but growing up, to me, Christmas was the most wonderful time of the year, okay? And the reason why I have memories is when I was a younger child, we used to light an Advent wreath every week in church. Now, I didn't know anything about the Advent wreath then. All I knew was this was the countdown clock, okay? It was. I mean, each week I'm like, oh, one more candle has lighted. What means we're closer? And along come Christmas morning, I would race down the stairs with my brothers, and, you know, we'd have all our relatives, my grandparents were there, and it was just, it was a time that was so wonderful, I never wanted it to end. It seemed perfect for me. It seemed like the most wonderful time of the year. And as I've gotten older, it's very different to me. Christmas, you know, back then, it could never get here fast enough, right? Now it tumbles each year faster and faster and faster. But now I enjoy it through my own children, watching them, you know, especially my younger ones, run down the stairs, open presents, and eat candy. More candy than they need to be eating, okay? And then we deal with the after effects about 3 hours later, right? But as I've gotten older, one of the things I realize now, being in ministry, and not only just my own life, I can certainly say this, if you talk to people privately, and they would tell you, and I'll put it up here, this is not the most wonderful time of the year for them. Now, why is that? I've done a lot of thinking about this over the last couple of months when I was looking ahead. I say this about my own life. Maybe that's why I speak into this. There are several reasons for this. Why this is a time of the year that is a huge struggle for so many of us. That no one ever wants to say this publicly, but they feel it privately. Why is that? Well, let me see if I can speak into this. Why this is the time of the year where people feel the most stressed. It's obviously the time that people feel the most depressed. It's the time of the year where people feel the most stretched, and it's more they can possibly handle. So let me see if I can explain this and address this, because this is real-time issues here. Number one is, I would put up here what I call the desire or the chasing after Christmas perfection. What do I mean by that? Well, if we look back on Christmas in the yesteryears, years and years ago, it was so wonderful when we were children, we always want to recapture that. Now, the fact of the matter is, if we were actually to go back and visit that time as adults, we'd actually find to discover it wasn't nearly as perfect as we think it was. Okay, let me just give you an example. I spent my summers in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, and we stayed at a cottage for a month every year. And to me, it was heaven on earth. It was the most perfect place. And years ago, as an adult, I went back and saw that cottage. It was an absolute dump. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh. But it was the same place. I had had this heaven on earth experience. It's the same thing with Christmas and yesteryear. We look back on a time, all our family was there. All these presents. We were out of school. And it was just, you never wanted it to end. And as we get older and we have children, we want them to experience what we think is perfection once again. And so we spend all this energy and all this money chasing after something that you cannot get to. But the delusion is we think we can get to it, which is why we are exhausted. And I'm exhausted. And I know, see, the thing is, I know this too. I know this, and I still am fighting it. I feel this. That's one reason. Let me tell you another reason here, I would not have known this coming out of seminary, but I now know it after talking to so many people, And that is, this time of the year is an incredibly lonely time for a lot of people. And the surprise for me has been how many people who may be surrounded by a lot of family, a lot of friends, feel incredibly lonely. They would say, no one knows what I'm going through. They have no idea what I'm struggling with. And they feel very, very, very alone. And then there's people who just flat out loneliness. You know, the forgotten people in these nursing facilities on Christmas morning. You know, if you really want to do something on Christmas morning, let's go there. I mean, and the people who struggle with their mental health, there's all kind of people that struggle deeply with this whole idea of loneliness. And Christmas just magnifies that because it looks and appears that everybody else is just having the time of their lives, and they're not. Which leads me to another point, and that is why we feel this stress and we feel almost this, sometimes a depression comes in, is because Christmas often reminds us of who and what we have lost. What I mean by that is, why Christmas was so wonderful to me when I was a younger child is because those I loved the most were all there. And it was a peaceful time. Half those people are gone now. They have died. In fact, I had one older woman last year after one of these services at Christmas Eve came up to me, and I asked her, what do you think of the service? And she said, oh, it's just wonderful. It's the first time I've sung any of these songs in almost 10 years. And I said, I was surprised because she's a regular, she may be here this morning. Okay, she's a regular attender. I asked permission to share this, by the way. And she told me that 10 years earlier, she said, every year I would decorate the Christmas tree. And my husband and I would turn on this music, and we'd sing all these great Christmas songs, all these great hymns. And it wasn't just a time of joy. We were really singing these things as an act of worship to God as we decorated the Christmas tree. It was just wonderful. And then he died. And the very next year, I began to decorate our Christmas tree, and I put the music on, and she said, I just burst into tears. I couldn't sing. I could not sing the songs, as all it did was tell me that he is gone. And that is the hard part. Sometimes we remember of who and what we have lost. It reminds us of that. It shines a huge light on that. The other area that I'm absolutely sure of, and I don't worry about contradicting myself here because I know this is true for a huge swath of people in here, and I say this humorously, okay, but Christmas also, I would say, the complicated family dynamics, okay? Any of you know what I'm talking about in here? Okay, you want to put two hands in the air, right? Okay. There are a lot of us that have friends, or a lot of us that had family, that, how should I say this? If we could choose, we would probably not spend a day on the boat with them. Let's put it that way. Okay, and by the way, there's a reason why I originally was going to do this message on Christmas Eve, but I thought to myself, all the people that you and I are thinking about right now would be sitting right next to us. So I said, that awkward, okay, that would be really, really weird. So that's why you're hearing it here this morning. What do I mean by that? Well, those we love, let's say there are so many we love, but they're very difficult to be with. And they may say the same thing about us. And during the year, you can kind of hold people off at arm's length. You can do that and get away with it. Christmas compresses and condenses everything, where you're often forced to deal with it, to be with these people. And whether it's the week of Christmas or Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or the weeks after Christmas, and often you're with these very, very, very blended families now, and people are making decisions. I've talked to people about this. Who is coming? When are they coming? Who can be there? Who cannot be there? What time are they leaving? Okay? How do we get around this? How long are they staying? And how do you navigate all this? And by the way, and how do you keep everybody happy? And how do you keep the peace without there being some huge blow up? And here's the dilemma. Here is the delusion that so many of us here have fallen into this. We think every year we can manage this. We can handle it. And when we say, you know, we're not going to take the bait. there's a significant portion of us in here that we think we can handle the problematic and the expectations that some of these people have in our lives. And we say to ourselves, okay, we say things like, I can handle my alcoholic, you know, family member. I am not going to react to my racist uncle. I am not going to take the bait when one of my family members acts passively aggressively about what the home looks like or what I should be doing I didn't do with my children or how I should have said this. I am not going to take the bait. And Christmas shines a huge light, and sometimes it shines a light on all that is wrong. It magnifies it. Problems we can't fix, people we can't control, expectations that we will never be able to meet. Christmas does that often. It shines a light on all that. And so in many ways, I think for a lot of us, if we're honest with it about it, we would say that Christmas, it seems like the light shines on all that we're up against and all that is against us. But see, here's where the gospel comes in. And this may be, and this is basically what the world deals with. But I want to bring the gospel in here. And I want to bring us back to this statement here, okay? Dominus luminatio mea. And that is, the Lord is our light. Because what the scriptures have taught us, and I've often said from here, what then shall we say about all these things concerning us? As Romans 8 says, if God is for us, and you know what comes next, who can possibly be against us? What this tells us is that although we can look around and see all that is caving in on us, the paradox of this is that the other side of it is that it shines a light on something in our lives that is incredibly stable, the central driving force of our lives. Because Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of human history. I mean, he literally divides time itself. Think about this. Through his birth, it's separated AD from BC. And he is the very central theme of our lives, and he's stable. With an ever-changing world and all this chaos around us, he is like this huge cement pillar that goes deep in the ground that we can put our hands around and hold, and he's immovable. He's unshakable, no matter what comes our way. And not only that, but he's given us a purpose. He's given us a reason for our existence. Okay, I know where I've come from. I know why I'm here. I know where I'm going. And what this means is that God shines a light that the deepest grief and the darkness night will never be able to put out. Now, let me say that again. The light has shined that the deepest grief, and by the way, there are a lot of people in this community right now are feeling this right now. The deepest grief and the darkness night will never be able to put out. It cannot overcome it. And therefore, no circumstances, no people can ever take the light that God has put in you. He has shined a light in the darkness, and the darkness cannot put it out. That's what Jesus says about himself, and is what he says about you, the light he's put in you. Because at the heart of the gospel here, okay, the heart of the reason why God became a man is that Jesus Christ is the only person in human history who was born for the reason of dying. We weren't originally meant to die. We were originally meant to live forever. And yet we do die. And God says, I'm going to do something about it. And here's where it comes back here this morning, what I'm talking about. The reason why we are chasing after perfection is because there was a time, there was a day, when there was a time when everything was perfect in the Garden of Eden. And now we live in a broken world. The reason why we feel so incredibly lonely, there was a time we were walking with God hand in hand in the cool of the evening, and we were never alone. The reason why we feel such loss sometimes for those we love and we wish you could have them back is because there was a time when we had a love that was never lost. The reason why we have such complex family dynamics, it wasn't ever supposed to be like that. We were supposed to live in perfect love, in harmony with one another, and people would love us for who we are. They didn't have expectations. And so the essence of the Christmas story is Jesus says, okay, for this reason I've come into the world, and for this reason, there was a reason why I was born, and there's a reason why I came into this world. And what's even more amazing, he said, the reason why I've come, the purpose of why I've come, is to testify to the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is, because we are trying to recapture an ancient past, because we are trying to have a love that transcends time and death itself, because we desire to have a love that conquers death and to chase after perfection, a desire to be reunited with those that our hearts are tied to our own. And nothing in this world can satisfy that. Okay, the most probable explanation is because we have these desires that you and I were built for another world. We're built for a place that is beyond here, a place of perfection, a place that we are always in communion in relationship with God and people, that we are united to one another in a love that cannot be lost. And I've often said, okay, and this does not originate with me, but we have this idea of what is greater than what we are living right now. And the line that Lewis used to say is, how can anybody say a line is crooked, okay, unless there's a straight line to compare it to? Where does a straight line come from? The straight line is God. Okay, Dominus, Luminatio, Mea. The Lord is the light of my life. And if you think about these themes, okay, about the theme of chasing perfection, a Christmas perfection, and thinking about loneliness, and thinking about, you know, the desire to be reunited with those we love, and having these perfect relationships, if you think about those things, they're all centered around this whole idea of love. It almost always has to do with people and love. And God looked down this world, and he saw how broken this was. He saw how sad everything is. And what did God decide to do? God decided to become a man, born in a baby, because of his great love for us. Okay, the most famous verse in the Bible. What does it say in those first few words? Okay, for God so loved the world. And I've often made the argument, you can tell the depth of love for somebody by the sacrifice they are willing to make. Okay, the greater the sacrifice, the greater the love. We have, you know, we can look at two peasants that fall in love with one another, and that may move us. We might find that, it may be something that's wondrous. But the stories that really move us, the stories that really capture our hearts, are the stories of a great and mighty king who was willing to give up all his wealth, all his power. He was willing to give up the kingdom for the love of that little peasant girl. We know that. We experience that. We say that's the story that really grabs our hearts. And by the way, this is not just what I'm saying. This is the story of the greatest literature in history that talks about this. And all the great movies, some of the movies, let me put them up here, that talk about this. The story of the great person of wealth, the mighty king, the person who is willing to give up their throne for the person who has so much less than them. I mean, what's the story of Pride and Prejudice? I know some of you know this. Mr. Darcy was willing to give up everything for Elizabeth Bennet. What's the story of Cinderella? He was ready to give up his entire kingdom to find her. And these are just microcosms of the real gospel lesson. Okay, and the real gospel is that God left the treasures of heaven and stripped of everything, all his wealth, all his power, to come and live down here among in this mess because of his great love for us. Okay, we say this every Christmas. We hear this. For us, a child is born. For unto us, a son is given. Unto us, okay, he's given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And we know this. He's going to be called what? A Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, an Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the government of the world will rest on his shoulders, and it will never be able to be put out. There will never come an end to it. And what I'm saying to you is, what the gospel is saying to you is, a new light has dawned. A light has come into the land of darkness, and people have seen a great light. My great contention here this morning is, and I am compelling you to know and to believe, okay, we must not allow the darkness to drag us into the shadows. We must become the light that God has put in you. The light has shined in the darkness, and the darkness can never overcome it. Okay. Dominus, Illuminatio, Mea. The Lord is our light. And so is it with you. Let's pray. Lord, you called us. You called us. You shouted to us. You broke through our deafness. You broke through our darkness. We know in you there is no darkness. In you there are no shadows. And so we pray this morning, Lord, you may bring your light in your restoring presence to the dark places that have nearly overwhelmed so many of us in here. And so we pray this morning, we may turn our hearts to what is holy, that we may ever live in the light of your love, because we remember once again, here in this Christmas season, you are the light of our lives. And darkness will never be able to overcome it. You, our King here that's among us. And because of that, we give you thanks. It's in your name we ask and pray these things.